Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In this podcast, we chat about the defeat of Bristol City and answer your podcast questions. This is the Borough Breakdown podcast, and this is why Borough Matchday Chatter in a pod.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny and Dana. We are the Borough podcast that gives you all of your Borough Matchday chatter in a podcast. And well, another defeat for Borough, our fourth consecutive home match without a win. We put an end to Bristol City's six-game winless run. And, you know, Borough have now only won two out of the last 12 home games against Bristol City as well. So the definition of a bogey team. Dana, as always, what was your one key takeout from the week?
Probably that Michael Carrick still has a way to go to establish himself as a good coach. I think he was a good coach last season, absolutely. But this season has thrown up a lot of questions over him. And like, there's still improvements to be made. And I don't take that as a bad thing. I'm fine with that. I'm realistic. And I know that he's a big name, but he's not yet a big manager. And I think he's been guilty of being more reactionary than proactive this season with his late substitutions. And yesterday he got the team selection wrong. So the defeat was in part kind of on him yesterday. So yeah, the big major takeout is just that Michael Carrick he's just got a way to go to develop himself and establish himself as a good coach, because there's just been a few moments this season where you can kind of pin question marks on him.
Yeah, and for me, I would say we were garbage yesterday, but we're not a garbage team in general. I thought yesterday was so bad, and we'll come to it now. The overall, like, when I watch Middlesbrough, I look at us and go, we're a good team. We're just so, like, high and low. It's just never a steady line of consistency this year. It's been more of a case of we do so many good things and so many funny things in just one game, and it's quite frustrating, I would say. But we'll talk about the game, because obviously, we were down 2-0 within the first 20 minutes. It's obviously gone mountain to climb from that. And, you know, Sammy Silvera's got his backside to at least give us a glimmer of hope in the last 5-10 minutes. How would you assess it yesterday, Dana? How would you assess the match in general?
Well, I knew we were in for a rough afternoon when Luke Ayling's man bun fell out within the first 5 minutes, and then fell out again later the same half, and then fell out again in the second half. I mean, it was very hodgepodge, wasn't it? Not his man bun, the performance and the team. You know, it was a starting 11 with players in make-do positions, really, and it kind of played like that. Like, the midfield two of O'Brien and Barlasser just didn't work. Like, it's funny, actually, when we were discussing what Borough's best team is a few podcasts ago, we were reeling off the names of Borough's midfield pairing, and I was thinking, oh, House and Barlasser... maybe Hackney O'Brien, but I never thought O'Brien and Barlasser. I just didn't. Like, it was probably the furthest down the list that you could possibly go that to. And it didn't work in that game. I think Hackney's performance levels have really struggled playing further upfield. So he definitely suits playing deeper. And then we've got our most instinctive forward playing out wide for a player who in Greenwood I still think has potential to be effective through the middle, but there's an awful lot of growing and improvement that he needs to make. So, yeah, we have seen that game so many times this season. You know, Borough giving themselves a massive task to overcome by making mistakes and conceding goals through them. And then we sit there and we think, we just don't have the necessary firepower to be able to overturn this deficit. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but unfortunately, it's nothing new.
Yeah, it isn't, is it, really? And you know what, like, I was watching that yesterday, and that first half for me was just like, who could play the shittest out of our entire team? And, like, Hackney and Barlaster, like, they just had, oh, you know what I was saying, like, bad performances. Like, they're up there, I think, individual-wise. Yeah. You know, everything they did just went wrong. And look, you've been there. Anyone who's played football has been there, like, where you have, like, flurries of moments where you just can't pass the ball straight. You can't pick out your man. You miss an easy chance. Everyone has those moments, right? But it was like, for me, I was like, good God, like, what a way to shoot yourself in the foot. And then, you know, when the crowd gets on your back as well, like, it must be difficult, I guess. But, you know, the way that we conceded, I think those two goals were so frustrating, so easily preventable. And our own downfall, really, because I don't think, I know Bristol City got in a couple of times, but every time they got in, it was because of our own doing, from playing in the wrong areas, playing into traps, and not being really good with our, like, overall tempo, to be honest. And I always speak about tempo on this podcast because I think it's so valuable, and I think it's so important in this game. Like, we talk about, like, tempo and space and how we occupy it. And just when we're playing out from the back, I'll get, the only time I ever get frustrated when we play out from the back, I think, for me, is that we become too naive and also play, like, as part of a team where they're not willing to move the ball a lot quicker between side to side. And you should do, really, because if you want to play the ball out wide, they're going to bring someone over. You need, if you're going to play back, you need to switch it quickly. Like, if you got four, you need to really do it within about four or five passes, because on that fifth or sixth pass, like, the team is going to go back into a shape and make it more difficult. And they did do that, Bristol City, and they're really good at it. I thought they were good in terms of targeting Fry on the goal kicks as well. Noise uncomfortable with the ball, and it was just difficult for that first half an hour, 45 minutes. And credit Bristol City, you know, I thought they got it spot on, but it was mainly because that we were doing stupid shit. That we took the game away. And for me, like, everything that we've seen over the last few weeks, I think it's kind of accumulating now over time, where, you know, we are top for biggest chances missed as a team in the Championship. We're in the top four for big chances created. You know, our underlying numbers are still really good, but it shows how massively we're underperforming, you know, in, like, the actual games. And yeah, I was just a bit disappointed yesterday. A bit disappointed in the second half. I thought, okay, we had the chances again, but it just didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out. And I agree with you as well on the team selection as well. And I thought it was interesting because I was adamant McGree was going to start. And
yeah, so
what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Carrick, remember earlier on this season, he didn't play McGree. He benched him. And back then, our eyebrows were raised because this is our best player and he can't get into the team. So what's going on? And, like, I was waiting to see what Carrick would have said about McGree not being in the team or not starting yesterday. But he was never asked it. So I was kind of just assuming that maybe it's because of people's assumptions that he is still managing his way back from that foot injury. But, like, for me, the fact that there wasn't an answer to that question leads us into these conversations, doesn't it? And if McGree is fit and available, he starts every game for me, absolutely every game. Borough do not have a player on the same note as McGree, somebody that can take the ball between the defensive line and the midfield line, even when under pressure. I think you saw when he set up Greenwood's offside goal, he was under pressure, he was being pressed, but he's so agile, he's so intelligent. He just needs that one little deft touch to get a player in behind, and we saw that in that move. And it's like no one else can offer that. You think about the other options in that left wing berth. Greenwood does not offer that. He's a completely different player. Azaz doesn't offer that. He's a completely different player. So, like, McGree is kind of in his own bracket there with Borough. He's so technically gifted. And he's just so good playing between the lines with, be it his back to goal, he's so good at playing on the half turn, receiving the ball, and then making a move that basically gets him into an area where he can make a pass, he can take the ball out wide, he can feed it in, filter it in centrally. We saw that with his goals that he set up for Morgan Rodgers in the Cup. Like, he's such an intelligent footballer, and he gets in that team every single week for me. And if he started that game, it would have had a really positive domino effect with the rest of the team selection, because then it would have meant that Azaz would have played through the middle, which I think suits him. It would have meant that Hackney would drop back, which suits him. It would have meant that, you know, one of Barlasser or O'Brien would have had to take a seat on the bench. But would you rather have O'Brien or Barlasser in your midfield or Riley McGree in the team? You would definitely pick Riley McGree in your team. So I feel like Michael Carrick, going back to my one key takeout, is maybe guilty at times of overcomplicating things. Like, obviously, we're not privy to knowing exactly why Carrick benched McGree. But if he was fit and available, just play your best players. Play your best players, and particularly play your best player, because he doesn't, he's no detriment to the team. He's only a positive to it. And yeah, it's baffling. It baffled me yesterday. It really did.
Yeah, and I'm glad that he came on, and I hope he starts midweek against Preston, because I feel like he brings so much to the team. And seeing Azaz in the second half go, well, it was in the middle of the first half, really. We changed it, but Azaz moving more to a central position. And I thought he was much more dominant in that role. And you could see that his strengths were really getting highlighted. He was good with his feet. He's finding that through ball. We were trying to get in the right areas. And I would say Greenwood was poor in terms of reading the lines. And you know what? He was always offside, and it frustrates the hell out of me. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I request a bet from Sky Bet, and I was like, how many offsides can this guy actually have? Like, there's play on the defender's shoulder, and then there's just being offside. That's like constantly being naive about it, and frustrates me the hell out of me with that. But, you know, as for me, I thought second half was much, much better. And you know what? He's still so fresh, like, in the team as well. And, you know, I remember when Rodgers came in and everyone was slating him for 2 months. And, you know, somehow he became the best thing and best player in the world. And what annoys me is sometimes I see tweets and everything, and where the score was, so, but this is supposed to be our replacement for Rodgers. And he's just slagging him off after 2 games, the same thing you did with Rodgers. But I think he is still our replacement, and I think he's really good. We just need to keep showing more and more of it. But he's only just came with the football club, right? But he has quality. And I agree. I think McGree should have started. But go on, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, I was talking to someone in front of me at the match, and, you know, he was kind of criticising Azaz. And I just don't get it. I really, really, really don't. Like, I know that as human beings, we always want to find someone that's responsible for something not going right. Yeah. But, like, he has played, what is it now, 3 or 4 games for us? 3? Yeah. I can't remember. But, like, it's very early days for Azaz. And the thing is you can say that he was absolutely shite yesterday. He still created some really good chances for us. Is that not enough to give him a chance and to be like, you know what, there's something in him here? Like, of course there's players that are just downright turgid, like, sorry, but Tuyosio Lasagna, like, he won a competition to play for Middlesbrough, let's be honest. Great, seems to have carved a good career for himself in Scotland, but you can kind of gauge from certain players they're just not good enough. Don't see that with Azaz. Like, right now he's not performing to the capabilities that he's capable of, but don't write him off. And I'm not saying that everyone is, but there is a selection of football supporters that go to that superlative degree of, like, everything's going wrong, everything's shite, there's a big conspiracy theory, Gibson needs to go, Azaz needs to go back to Villa, what are we doing? And it's just like, it's not that bad. I am backing Azaz. I think that he will end up being a really big positive player for us, because think about it, there's players in that team that have also undergone that kind of narrative of they're shy, and then we've warmed to them. So if anyone is out there that's, like, really questioning the signing of Azaz, just give him time, and I think he will be a net positive signing for us.
I agree. I think he's a good player. It's just going to take him time, I think. It's getting used to the system as well. But for me, yesterday, when we talked about different players of who we've liked and who've had a bit of stinker, I thought, like, Barlasser was had an absolute stink yesterday. But Barlasser was getting a lot of the abuse, but I thought Hackney was the worst out of the two yesterday. for
he's been bad for a number of weeks, yeah. to be honest.
I think you need to highlight that though as well. Like, I think sometimes like it's very easy not to like not criticize a local player sometimes, but like for me, like I think Fry slows the game down a lot. He always shifts onto his right foot, slows the tempo down, and he can't play out from the back, and it frustrates me. Whereas like as Hackney as well give the ball away multiple times, give suicide balls to different players, which cause a domino effect on different things. And then it was like, well, we need to highlight, I think, just as much as like, you know, Dan Ballas was, but I think Ballas was terrible yesterday as well, just as much as Hackney, but
He needs time on the ball, Ballas, afforded. Like, he's not the type of player that can kind of do things quickly. He just needs that extra few seconds that he's just not afforded. So when a team do apply pressure on that build out from the back, because obviously when from Borough goal kicks, the two centre halves will split, Barlasser will drop into that deep position, and he's kind of the first contact of the goal kick. Like, as soon as teams kind of push up and put pressure on it, that's when you see his weaknesses. So like he needs time on the ball that he's just not afforded. It's like he does offer a lot of like line breaking passes that get us forward, that progress us up the pitch significantly. But this also comes down, Johnny, to like the lack of movement. So it's not just Barlasser, it's the lack of movement.
Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started.
Go for it. Have a therapeutic rant.
I wouldn't say that. It's that, but like, if you play out from the back, your defence is only as good as its midfield, and the midfield's only as good as its forward line. And if there's a chunk itching in the armour, and say if the midfield's not running, then you can only really ideally play it long, or you're gonna start to horseshoe it. There was no movement up top, there was no movement in the midfield. Therefore, you're playing it out from the back. And then when you do play in the centre, you're getting pressed because you're not playing it quick enough, and it frustrates me. If you are going to do it, play it from the back, like I was saying earlier, that fourth or fifth pass, you've either got to break the line or you've got to switch it very, very quickly and just trying to create the space. But when you've got two or three forwards literally like just stood out wide and not trying to bring players in or move up, it's not like you have to run across half the pitch. Just a couple of yards, keep it moving, just keep yourself walking from side to side, just wait for that opening to come up, and we just don't do it. And I think, like, you know what you're saying, like, well, people need time and space, but also they need players around them. Like, for me, if I'm looking at my goal kicks, I'm probably looking at my centre half. Okay, there's two. Where are my wing backs as well? Are they wide enough? Are they in enough space for like Barlasser or Hackney to open the body up, play it out wide? And then you've got a load of space to kind of angle to maybe come inwards, play that 1-2. Can we get a winger in and behind? And it's just like, if we don't do it, when you do horseshoe, it frustrates you and it frustrates everyone. But if you are going to horseshoe, you may as well just play it long over the top, because the team's going to keep coming up and coming up and coming up in that mid block to a more of a higher press. And then you're going to create more space in behind. But what do I know, Dana? Because I'm just a guy who sits on the podcast and, you know.
I was going to say on that point about like the fullbacks, like we discussed it in a rather ranty series of voice messages on our messenger chat yesterday. But like last season, you saw quite frequently Zach Steffen would loft a, not a long ball, but like a kind of mid ball to the flank to Ryan Giles. And then he would play that first time pass, you know, cushion it inside first time, and it would get Boer ticking. Like, it is so frustrating to see two rather conservative fullbacks, and this isn't all throughout the game. Like yesterday, we saw Ayling get forward in the second half more so than the first, although he did get forward a few times in the first half. But it's like, I just want to see Borough utilize their fullbacks more, because they can be our outball, they can be what essentially alleviates that pressure and gives Barlasser and Hackney or O'Brien or whoever's in the central areas that option. We just don't really see it. And as I said, it's very hodgepodge. It's very kind of makeshift, make do. I know we've got injuries, but I don't feel like Carrick has quite cracked the formula this season like he did last season. So scaling back to the narrative about Carrick, like, there is big expectation on him, and some tacticals on Twitter will tell you that he's destined for the Man United job. If he is, he's got an awful long way to go, because, yeah, it's not a bad thing, like, needing to improve. It's not a criticism at Carrick, but it's just probably a bit of perspective that, like, he's still early into his managerial career, and we've seen a lot of naivety, potentially, you could maybe label it this season.
Yeah, and look, there is a bit of naivety, isn't there? Like, I think even when you've got your principles as a coach and you want to play things in a certain way, but also, as part of like a philosophy or a principle, which is where I, as a coach, like, you've got to be adaptable, I think. And when you have that adaptability in your locker, like, okay, you've got your principles, you want to play in a certain way, you want to create chances in a certain position, or create, like, or play through teams to get yourself in certain areas. I get it. But you also got to have that ability to kind of go, right, if this isn't working, how do we, not a move away from the principle, but how do you adapt your principle to kind of achieve the same result? Because there's different ways to get to the byline, and there's different ways to get into that box, into the box, in the 6-yard box, where it's the probably the best areas of the pitch. And, you know, you don't have to be a best crossing team to do that. You know, it's, you can play the ball in behind, which we do get in, but it also relies on the striker. And I don't think Greenwood offered that yesterday, but it kind of comes back to that point, doesn't it, where it's being adaptable, then also like having that nous to kind of change things up a little bit. But why do you think Bristol City got that so right in the first half?
They just attacked us in an area that is a weakness for us, in that midfield, where, yeah, if you do put pressure on us, you know, we do have problems. And as we said, we didn't have that out ball. In the second half, I think they were pretty content with allowing Borough the ball out wide. I was having a look, 27 crosses yesterday in that game, and we've been averaging 16 crosses per 90 this season. And I think they were content with it because they were packing the central areas instead. So when we saw Ayling get forward more in the second half down that right, we also saw a lot of Bristol City interceptions, blocks and clearances. So like, firstly, I would probably say credit to them for their defending. The majority of those crosses from Borough were cutbacks. There were a few off the floor, so there was a bit of variety there, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more still. But like, it comes back down to no matter what type of cross you have into the box, there's just a lack of movement there, really. A lack of like trying to really attack the ball to get yourself into space at the back post, at the near post, to try to get onto that ball. And it kind of became a little bit too predictable, a little bit too easy for Bristol City to defend against. And any kind of question about like why Borough only had one goal to show for the second half dominance, you know, ultimately it goes back down to the lack of clinical edge up front. Last season, we were averaging 1.76 goals per 90, which was only bettered by Burnley, who of course went up as champions. This season, 1.45 goals per 90, which is ninth rank in the league. Like, the average percentage of goals scored at home in the Championship this season is 55%. But get this, Borough have scored just 39% of their total goals at the Riverside. Like, our home form ain't good enough, and our ability to score goals at home ain't good enough. But we did have chances. Like, Finnazar's created one really good one where he laid it off for Greenwood, who tried to curl it beyond O'Leary, and it, you know, he didn't get the purchase behind it. He created another one where he put the ball through to Greenwood, and O'Leary came out and smothered it and made himself big to block. And then Marcus Force fashioned a chance where he dragged a shot wide. We just don't have the clinical finishing ultimately at the end of the day. And if you don't have that, there will be games like yesterday where feasibly on the scale of, on the balance of the game in the second half, we could have got something from it because of our dominance. But if you don't have somebody that can put the ball in the back of the net, then ultimately you're going to go home empty handed, like, as we did.
Yeah. And it's not like games like where we're getting battered. I think the Chelsea game where we did get battered. I mean, but by like the games of the Championship, we're not getting turned over. I think all the games, it just comes from us. Do you know what I mean? I don't see a team playing us off the park. I'm not seeing a team like come to Riverside and dominate. It's very much flashes of, it's like moments of madness. When I'm sure I've said something on the podcast about this before, like around moments of madness, where we have 85 minutes spot on. You've got control of the game. You're playing it from side to side. You're creating openings, but that 5 minutes of where you switch off, the game's dead. And I think that's what happened yesterday, to be honest with us. And you know, it's frustrating, I think, for a fan, because you can be so concerned with the narrative of, oh, this process isn't working, or this player's garbage, or whatever. And it's very bipolar, especially where I sit in the North Stand as well. You 1 minute you're fantastic, next minute you're crap. and one part of you don't even know that you the right players on the pitch. But you know, it's like there's a lot that goes on in the North Stand, and Matt will probably laugh at that when that comment what I said. But yeah, I think the overarching thing is that, for me, I think to take out the whole game was kind of what I was saying earlier, is that we were garbage yesterday for a good 30 minutes. The rest of it, we were fine and creating chances like we were. And we do create chances, which annoys me. Creating chances is probably one of the hardest things to do in football. And we do it so easily. But why aren't we finishing it? And it's like, you can say, oh, well, we didn't bring a striker. But look, we know that there was something in place for January. It didn't work out. And we move on from it. But the summer's going to be a key moment for us anyway. if we were to bring the striker in. But I think my overall positive and my narrative for this year is that we're still a good team. We probably won't get promoted this year, but we are a good team, and everything that we need to work on can be done. You know, if we need to bring more pace, and we didn't have any pace in the squad yesterday, which is a bit of a problem. We need a centre forwards, but I think for me, if you're getting a right back in the summer, because I don't think Ayrland's going to stay, I definitely wouldn't sign Greenwood, and I don't think it's for Greenwood's wages alone. I think it's too much. And you know, if we get a centre forward in the summer, we get a right back, get probably another winger to maybe help us out. And I think Silvera will come good as well. I just think that we need, yeah, a little bit more to get us over the edge. But we're good. I think we're a good side. I do think we are a good side still. You can look at the numbers at one element, but on my eye test, I still think when I look at different teams in the Championship, Borough are a good side.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But anyway, let's move on to podcast questions. Ah, yes, podcast questions. Every week, you get the chance to ask us a question via Twitter, Borough_Breakdown, email theborough_breakdown@hotmail.com, or by joining our Telegram chat. The only place where you can chat to over 400 Borough fans about anything, maybe sometimes about Borough. Sometimes we chat about the Borough Breakdown merch, which is available at Teesside. The links are in below, and also just more cool stuff. So, Dana, the first question comes from Nick. He says, realistically, is mid-table just where this squad is right now and a fair representation to where we are?
Yeah, it absolutely is a fair representation as to where this team is. You know, we haven't put a run together since September into October where we won six in a row. And I tell you what, that six-game winning run is doing a lot of heavy lifting right now. It is probably the reason why we are basically still in the mix, along with our decent away form. But we just aren't consistent enough. And I will say there are other teams in and around us that also aren't consistent enough. But like with Borough, it just feels like there's so many issues at play that just haven't been rectified since, well, the beginning of the season. I can't see it changing anytime soon. And like, people keep saying, when we get players back, we'll be fine. Like, we had Hayden Hackney back recently, and he's been really poor since. So like, there's absolutely no saying that these players that are coming back from injury are actually going to perform to a decent level or to the level that they were prior to injury. So there's a lot of faith being put in those injured players coming back and actually performing, when in my opinion it's absolutely not set in stone. You might have Flatty Lath come back and really struggle to get back into the swing of things. I mean, there were question marks over whether he was getting into the swing of things beforehand. So like, we're banking big on the returning players to deliver, and I'm just not so sure that it's an absolute. So, yeah, we are a mid-table team. We're in that condensed pack of teams in the Championship that are just not quite there.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're too far away, but I think, you know, look, this is so like funny about the championship though. Like, we could be in the next three games, we'd be in the bloody playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just blows my mind. But that's the league we're in. But I think we do have quality, just not enough of it. And it's the reason why we're where we are. The next question as well, and it kind of leads in quite nicely to this question from Steve, when he says, can Borough's strategy of bringing in promising players with a view to selling on for profit work alongside an ambition to get to the Premier League, especially given the increasing gap between divisions and strengths of teams coming down? Both have an idea on this, but I think you do need to have a balance of bringing in players who you're going to sell on in development. I think Rav Vandenberg is a fine example where we know fine well Rav is not going to be here maybe from the summer or from next year. Like, he's going to go. Like, let's be honest, Hackney's probably the same. Obviously, given his recent performance, probably not. but like, there's players there that you're going to sell on for profit. You have to do it. And if you look at Borough in the past, how many times have we, like, over the years, brought in players with big money and not been able to sell them on? We need to change that model, especially with like the cost of running a football club and what it is. You know, you're going to get 15, 16 million pounds for Rodgers. Is that all going to go to the transfer budget? No, it's definitely not. You know, it's going to go to different things. Like, we all know that. And it's the same with different players. You need to bring players through to keep yourself sustainable so you can keep competing to get out of the league. And the gap is only bigger in the Premier League, to be honest. Like, it always is going to be. So we'll see how things get on. But, you know, you need to have that balance for me. I think you need to get some players in for now and understand that, like, depreciation is going to happen. But also, can we get some players to give a sprinkle to some stardust from that as well, the youth players? But I don't know what your thoughts on it as well, Dana, bringing in promising players. Because I feel like if you do only bring in promising players, you're just going to go on a cycle, do you know what I mean? Constant cycle where you do need to have that balance, right? But it'd be good to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree completely in that we need a balance. You know, this isn't FIFA 12 where you just get rid of a player that's approaching their 30s because all of their stats decline. Like, we see with Johnny Howson is like the poster boy of this, that players over the age of like 28 and well into their 30s in Howson's case can still perform at a really good level. I think we need a good balance. And I think we have struck it actually, because we've got Ayling who's come in and I think has been pretty decent so far. Tommy Smith's been decent since he came in. We had Neil Taylor, who did a decent job. Lee Peltier as well. Like, there's players that have value in them that aren't your archetypal, really high potential players. So I think there's a good blend. But also with this sort of approach, it needs time. Like, there are going to be teams that have really good players and you think, this is our season, it could happen. And then it ultimately doesn't. We sell them on, we kind of regenerate, we start again. It will take time. And that word time is a trigger for a few people, because some people want things now. And I get that completely. We all want to see Borough do well. I'd walk 1,000 miles to see Borough be a really successful team, but success isn't just promotion for me. And actually I'm quite, and this might be controversial, I'm always really happy being a successful championship team. And then ultimately it kind of goes to shit after that. That's kind of just the how football is. So I know Tom would absolutely hate me for saying this, but like, I'm fine just developing. And when it happens, when we get promoted, then it happens. I'm not itchily impatient for it. Like, as a fan, just to let people know, I've seen two seasons of Borough in the Premier League. So for someone that's seen the halcyon days of the Europa League campaign and Hasselbank Viduka, like, I get that it's a completely different kind of perspective, but for me as a fan, I've seen two seasons of us in the Premier League. It's not the be all and end all for me. Obviously, I want to see Borough there. I want to see Borough be successful, but I can wait, basically. I can wait. I can see Borough develop. I can see Borough bring through academy graduates and see them flourish like Hackney. I can see them bring in players like Rav Vandenberg and watch them really develop. I like that. I like those sorts of stories within a team. So, yeah, bit of a waffle, but it can work. It just needs a little bit of patience, a few chapters, shall we say, within it.
Yeah, look at dinner. I've seen Borough probably more in the Championship now than I have in the Premier League. And the Premier League was a lot different from when we were in there. You know, we were in the Europa League and we were paying out some good money on players, and we were. It was not as pretty sustainable as you wanted it to be for Borough, but we had some really good years and it was great. The Premier League was dead good when I was growing up and we were playing these big teams and you know, it was fun. Like, you know, the players we had probably underappreciated at the time, really. Because we always thought it was gonna work out. We were always going to be a Premier League team again. You know, like we sustained ourselves under Robson and McLaren, and it kind of felt like we were going to always be there for a long time. And then obviously, so Southgate, it just went tits up, and you know, for multiple reasons rather than just for Southgate alone. But yeah, like, it can be frustrating. But I did say when Scott came in, I would love to see where Borough are at in about 2 or 3 years, and it's next year's but that third year. So yeah, I'll assess things then. But there's a lot of positives out there, and I'm kind of come onto it like nowhere. But this week I was at the supporters forum with Steve Gibson. That was really good. I really enjoyed myself. Supporters forums are really good. There's only like 10 or 12 was there. Steve Gibson was there. The executive team, Neil Bowser, was there as well. And it was just really insightful, I think, to kind of understand where the club's at. We spoke about a lot of topics as well, like on the night, you know, like some about like transfers, club finances, ticket pricing. I think it was safe standing, the club's badge. Retail, there's loads of stuff that you can kind of go into, and I can't obviously respect it to stealing and the club, you know, I can't say anything at the moment, but I think overall it was a good evening, a real eye-opener. It kind of helped me understand like where the club's going, like in the longer term. And it is exciting. Like, I think the beauty of what the club's doing now is that they're just listening to fans and getting more on board, and it's a good like relationship, I think, with the club. And it seems it was like just a really good evening. But I think even when they talk about transfers, about Rodgers, like it's an unreal deal that we've got, you know, like this, the transfers in general, where the club's at in the summer and where we're going and what money potentially could have. And you know what, I'm on board with it. I get it. I think the club's kind of ready for it. Do you know what I mean? And they understand that fans are going to be a bit frustrated. It's not me being a mouthpiece either, but like, you know me, this podcast, and like I've really criticized the club in the past around the way things have been running, but I would say I'm on board with it now. And now I've seen what was behind the curtain a little bit. It's like, I can understand where the club's heading in that direction. Obviously, you've been at a couple of the sessions as well. It was my first one, but yeah, it was just a good evening.
What did you have for the meal? I know you had sparkling water, which is absolutely rancid, but it's just what we've come to expect from you now.
Look, me and Steve, you know, we shared a bottle of sparkling. It was good. I was actually sat next to Steve. So I was sat next to him. He's at the head of the table. I was on his right side. It was lovely to sit with him and John from 12th Man, and Mark Molly from the Sports Forum was really nice. But I had the soup to start. I couldn't have the bao buns because I had sesame seeds and obviously allergy to sesame. So
they had bao buns.
They did. So it was.
That's my favorite thing. That is.
So you know, I jumped in for you, you know, and you missed out on that. I couldn't have that because, you know, allergy. But now I feel like fans who hate this podcast are going to start sending me sesame seeds in my post box. But I had chicken and potato. Was it potato something? What's it called? Begins with a D.
I have no clue, mate.
Dauphinoise. I can't remember what the
character said. Dauphinoise.
Yeah. So I had that. And then I didn't know what to get for my dessert. And Steve recommended the cheesecake, and it was a fantastic recommendation from the chairman.
That's a very good selection of food right there. I'm jealous.
Yeah, so I was wine and dined, but like the conversations were great. You know, like they were really constructive. You know, the club like listened to what we wanted to say, and they ticked all the things on board. It was just a good evening. It was just a really good evening, and like it was really open. I know Mark is going to probably share the minutes over like the next couple of weeks on Twitter or wherever he's going to send them on to. So yeah, he can give you more detail then probably, and we can probably chat about it more on the podcast as well, because I think we've asked that question as well, what we can and can't share. So yeah, we'll put a feedback on that. But should we move on? Because I know we do have a game coming up in Preston this week on Valentine's Day. Hopefully Borough can give us a bit of love and you know, and actually win again. That'd be quite nice.
That'd be nice.
Preston as well. So like, what are you feeling about it as well, Dana? Like, do you think we'll go a deep deal and get a result? Because it's not really a good hunting ground for Borough, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, where my mind immediately goes to that 4-1 defeat at the end of the Chris Wilder what could have been season. But our away form is better than our home form, so I've got slightly more confidence in this one. But you just don't know what Borough are going to turn up, essentially. And I just hope McGree starts. If McGree starts, I'd be a bit more confident, so fingers crossed he does. I know you haven't asked, but I'm going to give you a prediction. I'm going to say another 1-1, because we've had a couple in recent games, haven't we? That would be our third one in four games if that happens. So I'm going to go with 1-1.
1-1. I'll probably go in terms of prediction. I agree with you. I think if McGree starts, and great, because they were garbage at the Riverside, they were rubbish.
They were, yeah.
But they're on a bit of form again, haven't they? So I think we go and win. I do. I'm gonna do the Ali Brown knee and say we're gonna win like 3-0.
He always said 3-1, didn't he? Or am I getting that mixed up with?
No, that's Dave. Yeah, 3-0. I'm gonna go 3-0, bro. You know, we'll just turn it around and everyone laugh at me and go, John, that's a horrendous prediction. My actual prediction is probably like 1-0, Borough. And I'll take it as that. But I have to just say 3-0 because to be optimistic. Before I round up, Dana, I just want to kind of say, yeah, I was meant to mention it a little bit earlier on, but I got Korean chips yesterday from the Macam.
So did and, I.
You know, I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But I feel what? Like, you know, like, you know what it is, right? I've got a tradition of getting chips and gravy, and you know, getting like the works. You know, I like, obviously get the meat on there as well. But I thought, you know, I'll get chips and curry because it's different, and it might spark like, you know, a new tradition where Borough win again. Things are back to normal. But we play that bad.
You're
going
to blame the chips and curry? Is this you trying to blame the chips and curry?
I might have to, like, because you know when you go against tradition. Well, I got my pint of Guinness. You know, I went to the club at the same time, picked me dad up, did the same routine. The only thing different was the chips and curry. Now, and to be fair, I also do another routine as well where I think I've missed 10 goals, a bit more. Where I went downstairs for a drink about 30 minutes in. And I always miss a goal. I always do it.
Hang on. Pause.
So, what?
Long-time listeners of the Borough Breakdown podcast will know a little quip that we used to aim at Elliot Venice.
Yeah.
Of going down to the concourse and coming out so late he misses a goal. Have you now become Elliot Venice?
No, because Elliot would go down at 30 minutes and come back up about 82 minutes. So... I would not say it tells. I would say I'm literally down. The thing is, well, I'm down for about a minute. I'm literally, because I know it's the best time to go to get a drink. I'm gone for about a minute and a half. Minute and a half, 2 minutes tops. I'm gone.
You miss a goal.
But I've missed so many goals. Like, it's actually embarrassing now. Like,
no. So you're the pre-evolution of Elliot Venice then. You're the magic car.
Potentially. I think that could be it. Maybe I should start going for a bottle of Coke or a coffee or something on that 35 minutes again to see if we can score. Maybe go back to the chips and gravy and hopefully we actually get a performance and, you know, a win. So normally it'll be resumed, Dana. Don't worry. We'll get next home game. I'll get me chips and gravy and we'll win.
I got mine and I was pretty content, but then I wasn't at full time when we lost. So, oh well. I will still eat my chips and curry as usual.
Yeah, maybe we should start talking about chips and curry instead of chips and gravy on this podcast instead of the matches, because at least they're consistently good. Anyway, on that note, we'll review, obviously, Matt Crooks' transfer going out this week as well. You get an expected video from us on that one. We'll probably look ahead to Leicester as well. But right now, Borough breaking our hearts, but hopefully Cupid can give us a win on Valentine's Day at Deepdale. But this being the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was like a Borough Match Day chatter in a pod. Up the Borough.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.